Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio interview show today. We have Bodhi Ron here. He's a yoga expert and a songwriter, and let's let him talk a little bit about what he's doing.
Yeah, hey, Ralph. Yes, well, I'm a yoga teacher in Portland, Oregon, and I just started teaching like 6 or 7 years ago, but one thing that I really liked a lot about it was that nowadays yoga classes are all taught with music in the background, so I really enjoyed making up music playlists to go along with the classes I was teaching.
Okay, so did you write these songs, or somebody else wrote them? Kind of a little bit.
No, these songs they relate to yoga, but I wrote and recorded these songs. I had mostly on my I have a Mac computer set up for recording, and a couple of synth. I have a little home studio and a couple of synthesizers. Electric guitar and a bunch of musical instruments. I have a Les Paul, Epiphone Les Paul electric, and so just kind of put them together. Yeah, with the Mac computers are so great for that these days.
Yeah, I listened to most of them, and they seem to be kind of like they get you kind of in a relaxed state first, and then kind of help you maybe think, you know, about something besides everyday problems that you've got.
Really? Well, that is excellent. That's perfect, because that is really the purpose. And I even I even meditate a little bit. I try to before I do a track, before I cut a track, I try to like be in a kind of a calm spot. And so that, of course, is one of the purposes of yoga is to help with relaxation. So yoga has gotten so much more popular that more and more people are making music specifically for yoga classes and for meditation. And there are, a lot of festivals around the country have sort of sprung up recently, where some of the festivals are mostly music. Most of the festivals are a combination of musicians and bands and concerts, and then yoga classes. So there was this a big one down in Santa Monica called Tadasana Festival recently. That Tadasana is the name of a yoga pose. And I went to one called Hanuman Festival last year in Boulder, and a couple of years before that, I went to one in Telluride, Colorado. So.
What are the usual age ranges of the people that's in the actual yoga classes and places that you go? I mean, what's the age range?
Well, there's a pretty wide age range. You know, it's a lot of, I suppose, 20-somethings and 30-somethings, but there's a very wide range. I saw a story recently about a 91-year-old yoga teacher. This woman had been teaching a really long time and still teaching. So yeah, you can really it's good stuff. You can start at any age, really.
Is there special for like children, or are they included in all it with everybody, or how does that work?
At times, yeah, yes, it's good for children. The classes that I teach in Portland, it's kind of family oriented, and people do bring their kids at times, and but usually, oftentimes, a little bit older kids, like teenagers, will come in with their parents, which is always like super nice.
I was just wondering when they bring their children in like that. Do they ever come back to you later on and say it's helping them with their schoolwork and their concentration level, you know, being able to get things accomplished better? Yeah.
Well, man, that is an excellent point. I I don't get that too much, but their yoga in schools is becoming is getting more and more traction, and meditation in schools. So a lot of people are working on that and introducing yoga and meditation practices to kids, because of course we know, on the other hand, we know there's so much that attention deficit.
Yeah, there seems to be so much.
That time. So you are totally right. You are exactly right on with that.
There's so much distraction for children and teenagers nowadays with the internet and all the other things going on. I would think that would help them focus down on the tasks or schoolwork
that totally
they want to get done.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Totally. Exactly. Yeah. And so much distraction and overstimulation. So.
You're going to have to help me on this first song. I'm not real.
Yeah, okay.
Subtitled to
so the first up is going to be a song called Patanjali's Invocation. So I thought this would be good to start the show with. And it is a song that's kind of a musical version of this chant that is done usually by the teacher and students at the beginning of a yoga class, especially this style called Ashtanga yoga. They chant the name of this guy Patanjali, who wrote a book called the Yoga Sutra. Probably like, it's a little uncertain, but somewhere around like 200 BC, so pretty old book. But this is like the book that all the current styles of yoga are based on, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So, so this first one, it's a little bit of a free-form musical version of that.
Okay, let's go ahead and play it, and then we can come back and talk some more after that.
Okay, cool. Okay, great.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Patanjali's Invocation. How did you do? You had to play with your voice there, right? I mean, you lowered the speed on it. How'd you do that?
Well, yeah, there's a voice transformer where you can do a deeper. You can do a deeper voice. Do a deeper voice. So yeah, I did. I recorded that, and then I changed it over. I deepened that track. That was actually only half of that song, but it's probably okay.
That was only half of it, you said?
Yeah. But
I had a little problem.
Pretty long.
Downloads, I don't know. I went back and did them over, and I thought that sounded about right. It was.
Yeah, well, that's good. No, that's completely. That was completely through the whole invocation once, and it does go through it, the whole thing, twice. But a little bit about the translation of that. Shall I give you just a moment? The translation is, I bow at the lotus feet of all the gurus who bring to light the happiness of pure being, which are the complete absorption into joy, eliminating illusion and poison caused by conditioning and programming. That sounds pretty good, eh?
Yeah, that sounds like what's going on in the world today is conditioning and programming and pollution.
Exactly, yeah. So, so it's just, that's the basic thing of yoga. Everybody, I sort of knows about programming, but
it's
tougher to know how to get rid of it.
We've got a caller. Let's see what question they might have for you.
Wow, okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
My name is Michelle, and I was listening, and I've always wanted to try some yoga stretches and things, but I'm disabled.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard of anybody that teaches disabled people certain ways to do yoga, or is that possible?
Oh, yeah, totally. And it depends on what the issue is, but a lot of yoga poses were developed actually and prescribed almost like medicine for various ailments. And hospitals are getting more into that and into meditation for pain relief in general, mindfulness. They call it, but and I'm not in your area, but there usually are. If you go online, you can very likely find someone in the area who would either teaches classes, especially for that. Are you also on PBS public TV? They have a program you can watch on yoga and arthritis.
Oh, okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. So, So check it out. Thank you very much for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
That was interesting. I hadn't thought about that myself, about people with disabilities helping them. You know, the stretching moves and everything, it's not really designed to... It's kind of not going to hurt anything unless you do it the wrong way, right?
Well, exactly, yeah. You'd usually be a little careful, especially at the beginning, but it's about, like, being connected with your body so instead of doing stuff to your body. So it reminds me also of a story I heard recently of a soldier who started to study yoga, and he had... back injuries from being in the military and was using two crutches, and over the course of, I guess, 6 months or a year, he was able to get back, lose a lot of weight and get back to walking. So that was like pretty amazing, remarkable case.
You said he was able to lose a lot of weight. How does that, does that tie in with yoga? I mean, the exercises that you're doing, or how does that work?
It's the exercise. You burn some calories, but it's kind of like with the programming we're talking about. You get out of sort of, you start breaking. It gets easier to break habits, and so. And also, he was kind of in a give-up mode, so it kind of gave him hope, too. So once he started getting into it, he started turning things around. But I think a lot of it is that, you start being able to break habits, like in that case, habits about eating, or you become more aware of your eating habits, and that enables you to begin to eat better, and that has a lot to do with it, of course.
You find that a lot of people are unconscious eaters. In other words, they're not really aware of what they're doing.
I do think that is the case, right? Because you sit down with a big bag of chips or something like that, and if you look at those labels, it's like one serving is 15 chips, and that's a couple of hundred calories right there. Right, but I'm just eating some chips. It's not a meal, and you start just starving down on the chips, and that adds up to a lot of calories. And also drinking those huge drinks, like in New York, the mayor's trying to make it illegal to serve those huge soft drinks. So those have a huge amount of sugar in them.
Yeah, and a lot of people drink.
Let's continue. Let's continue with the...
The next one is Shasta Line. What's the story behind that one?
Shasta Line. So I did a mix of some sort of popular, more like pop songs, and some more like instrumentals, like the Patanjali's Invocation. So this is a little bit more of a standard pop song, but it refers to Mount Shasta Abbey, a Zen monastery or Zen Abbey at Mount Shasta in Northern California. And it was fairly new when I went to college, but I studied, they teach this style called Soto Zen, which is mainly just sitting type of Zen. And I studied that for a while when I was in college. So this is kind of a train song. So it's like a train song where you're kind of looking at the spiritual side of life, or maybe being on a spiritual path as you go through your life.
Okay. Let's play it now then.
Okay, cool.
If you're feeling mellow, the stars are in your favor. You could book a passage on the Shasta Line and get a shine, not on your shoes, but in your mind. Passengers are charming, really quite attractive. You get an awesome apartment with the boys and girls. The smoke just curls around that pool, as white as pearls. And it feels like a carnival ride to navigate the terrain of your cookies. You feel like you're You could book a passage on the Shasta Line. You're gonna shine, not on your shoes, but in your mind. Not on your shoes, but in your mind. Not on your shoes, but in your mind. In your mind.
Line. Did we get all that one, I hope?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was a
worried about it.
Much more normal length.
Who was the person that was singing with you there, the lady on the backup vocals?
Oh, that was a friend, yoga friend.
Oh, she had a nice voice, too.
So,
she kind of offset the song really nice with the background vocals.
Oh, that's, yeah, cool, yeah. I will tell her that. I think it also helps. I sort of made the basic song at my home studio, but then I sent these out to have them professionally mixed and mastered. And so I might also plug the guy who did the mixing. He calls himself Bionic Ears.
Do you have a website or anywhere so that people can go if they're interested in your music or anything else that you're doing?
For him?
Oh, no, for you.
Or for me? Yeah. I have a website I call Nopo Yoga. So it's www.nopoyoga.com. And Nopo is just kind of slang that we have around here for North Portland, where I live.
Okay.
So.
North Portland, okay.
Nopo, yeah.
Have you ever had anybody that would start one of your classes or whatever and then say they just couldn't do it or it was too hard or anything like that?
Once in a while, people do give up in the people. Personally, I am like very into having people go at their own pace, and I encourage people to stop and just sit like that song had to do. Zen is mostly just sitting meditation, and there's not the movement. It's very similar in outlook to yoga, but yoga, you kind of stay in a meditative mode all the way through. So I tell people it's fine if they just sit and kind of be present during the class, you know what I mean? They don't even have to do all the exercises. Plus, can be a little bit intimidating the first class. So I think that if people are watching some of the other more experienced students, they're learning a lot. Just by watching, the first couple of times.
That'd be kind of like a motivating factor, I guess.
What?
Kind of like a motivation for them to try something, that they...
To stay in the room, yeah. Well, that reminds me, there's this Bikram-style hot yoga you might have heard of. It's very popular. But this guy Bikram was from India, and he started this. Well, Shirley MacLaine, the actress, brought him over in the early 70s and to L.A., and he began teaching yoga. And part of his program he brought with him, he had developed already, but then he started doing it in a heated room. So he would, and he said, they still do. They heat up the room to 100 degrees at least in these rooms.
Oh.
And then you start doing the poses, but, and so... Yeah, they always start classes by saying, if it's your first class, and if you just stay in the room, you have succeeded.
So, don't think I can even stay in a room at 100 degrees.
Yeah. Well,
that'd be tough.
You're just in a swimsuit, basically. But yeah, but my classes are not heated, and just once in a while somebody walks out. Most people can hang with it. Most people, yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun stuff. So.
Okay, what's this?
Where are we? Oh yeah.
Story behind the next song here. That's Hari Hari.
Yes. Hari Hari, it's so this is a musical version of a sort of an ancient chant from India. And chants are known as, you might have probably heard this, it's, you know, mantra, they're mantras. It's pretty much an English word now, right? Mantra.
Yeah.
which is sort of anything that you repeat over and over to yourself so you can focus your attention.
Right.
Right? but this is, it's fairly simple, I did this with, it's interesting, I did this with a vocoder, which is a type of synthesizer that alters your voice. And so this is actually, it's just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and repeat a little bit more than that, but it kind of repeats that, but using this vocoder, Korg, it's a Korg R3 vocoder.
Okay.
So,
let's listen to it now then.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Here we go. Okay, that was Hari Hari.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I'm keeping the kind of clock, a watch on the clock here. We got about 27 minutes left in the week. I still got like 5 songs to play, so whatever pace you think we want to go at here.
If we don't, okay, well, we'll just keep moving along. We can just, if we don't get through them, you can just cut to the last one, which is a nice one to finish off with. But
okay. The next one is Beautiful World. What's
Beautiful World,
one?
Yeah. So it's another kind of poppy type song, you know, just more like standard. Actually, it's pretty straightforward. It's kind of a doo-woppy. It's kind of, it uses an old standard doo-wop chord progression. Also has some girl singers doing backup. But there's a little consciousness raising in some of the lyrics. Like there's one, when you awake, the world is seldom what it seemed, which is kind of like, oh, you start identifying less with the world and it begin to relate to it a little bit differently. So, but yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and look. All right,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and listen to that Beautiful World.
Okay, cool.
Here we
All
go.
Right. Excellent.
To you.
make this world a beautiful world before you die. I'll make
Beautiful world, yeah.
Okay, well, we got about 19 minutes left.
Okay.
I think most of them in if we kind of rush
you do?
A little bit, maybe. The next one up is, I think the next one's the May the Long Time Sun, is that right?
Yeah, like I said, we can skip one. If we need to. All these songs, by the way, for people listening, they can hear these songs again at Django.com radio. I have all of these songs up there, and they just have to type in my name, Bodhi Ron, in the search window there. And they can get all these songs if we don't get a chance to play all of them. Yeah, but May the Long Time Sun, this also uses a vocoder for part of it. This actually is a section of an old Incredible String Band song, and which was apparently, I just learned, was an old Irish folk song, but it has kind of been picked up by yoga music or New Age artists, including a woman, Snatam Kaur, who I heard in Portland, just an excellent singer, vocalist who does a version of this song. So yeah, May the Long Time Sun.
Okay, well let's play it now.
All righty.
Here we go.
Middle of the sun,
Made a long time, son. We had a caller come on the line during the song in the 909 area code. If you're still listening, you can call back in. We don't interrupt the music for callers. We have to wait till this music's over with.
Cool. Whoever it was, I appreciate them calling.
A lot
of this style of this type of music is kind of pretty, might be called electronica, you know, in the genre, electronica genre. And as we were listening to that, I realized that, yeah, it has a certain electronica qualities. So the style of yoga music or new age or devotional, it's sometimes called devotional music. Yeah, it brings it's kind of a great synthesis of East and West, you know what I mean? In the music. And so it's very, takes like these sort of ancient themes, but then it brings, I guess, modern technology and kind of a modern sensibility into it. So I guess that's a lot of the appeal for me.
Okay, the next song I've got here is Thunder Flute Monk and Loon in Kyoto.
Exactly. So this is one of the first, this might be the first song that I recorded fairly recently, a few years ago, and it is still the most popular song that I have on Django Radio. They keep track. So this song has received the most likes. But I'm not sure what. Maybe you can tell me, Ralph. Listen and tell me what. I don't really know. I don't really know what it's so popular. Except it's more. It's not even like a song, but there's maybe it's the flute. There's flute in it. I don't know, but
okay. Well, let's listen to it and we'll see what it sounds like.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Thank you. Thunder, Flute, Monk, and Loon in Kyoto. I got the
Kyoto.
Kyoto.
Exactly,
I got the sense of being out in like the jungle somewhere with that.
Ah, nice.
The flute and it sounded like a bird or something there in the back.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. So I like you saying that. Yeah, it's very. It's kind of evocative of nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or, I wasn't really totally, but maybe a little bit like maybe a Japanese garden.
Yeah, it's
there's a terrific Japanese garden here in Portland.
An eastern garden with birds and you know, maybe a temple or something there.
Yeah, some guy just sitting there playing flute.
Yeah, I will probably have to skip that number 7 and go straight to the whistle in the home.
You want to do that? Okay.
Got like 4 minutes left, and it lasts at 3:56, so. Let's go ahead and play it.
All right. And once again, yeah, people can. All these are up at Django. So So I hate to skip any, but so the next song, Whistle and Ohm, it is kind of a lot of layering of the sacred syllable Ohm, which is chanted in a lot of yoga classes, and I use this song to actually end just about all of the yoga classes that I teach during the part where it's Shavasana, which is corpse pose. So this is a fitting way to end the program.
Okay, well, we'll probably be out of time by the time this one ends, so it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, yeah? This is a great way to wrap it up, and I thank you so much, Ralph. Thank you very much for this.
We'll keep in contact with you. If you get any more music or anything else going on, let us know.
I will do, totally will. Will do, yes. Okay, great. Thanks very much. Yeah,
okay,
and namaste. That's how you say goodbye in yoga, yeah.
Okay.
All right, namaste, Ralph.
All right.
Oh.